Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a question and answer session during today's call. At that time, if you'd like to ask a question, you may press star then one, and be sure to record your name when prompted. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I'd like to turn the conference over to your host, Sushil Prasad. Thank you. You may begin.
Hello. Thank you for your interest in this new cyber training solicitation. We are very excited. I'm Sushil Prasad. I'm a program director in CISA's Division of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure, or ACI. I'm a rotator from Georgia State University. My research is in parallel processing. In addition, since 2010, I have also been working on a curriculum initiative to infuse parallel and distributed computing topics into the undergraduate core curriculum of computer science and computer engineering. This curriculum has had wide adoption, including significant impact on ACM's 2013 curricula. So today I will summarize key aspects of this cyber training solicitation. I have with me other Cognizant program officers, and this solicitation has participation from many directorates. After my presentations, we'll take any questions. The overarching goal of this program is to prepare, nurture, and grow the national scientific workforce for creating, utilizing, and supporting advanced cyber infrastructure, or CI, that enables cutting-edge science and engineering and contributes to the nation's overall economic competitiveness and security. So let me note that for the purpose of this solicitation, advanced cyber infrastructure, which I will also refer to now on as CI, is broadly defined as the resources, tools, and services for advanced computation, data handling, networking, and security. The need for such scientific workforce development programs are highlighted by multiple reports and initiatives, including the NSCI, National Academy's report on future directions of CI, and the Federal Big Data R&D Strategic Plan. This solicitation calls for developing innovative, scalable, and informal out-of-class training programs to address both the emerging needs and unresolved bottlenecks in the scientific workforce development. We are targeting multidisciplinary communities at the post-secondary level and beyond. The target communities at various stages of their career pipelines comprise CI professionals, as well as the undergraduate and graduate students, researchers, and educators. In the short run, we invite projects that will result in innovative and informal training models and pilot activities. These will complement and leverage off state-of-art curricular offerings and best practices in academia and elsewhere. It is a long-term goal as well that we are really excited about. The project should aim to contribute to a larger goal of an educational ecosystem enabling computation and data science for all. This embraces computation as the third pillar and data-driven science as the fourth pillar of the scientific discovery process, in addition to the traditional first and second pillars of theory and experimentation. As you can see, we are very ambitious. And for some reason, so the cyber training program is being led by Division of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure, ACI, from the Directorate of Computer and Information Science and Engineering, or CISE. It also includes participation from CISE's Computing and Communication Foundation, the CCF, all the divisions within the Directorate of Engineering, Geosciences, and Mathematical and Physical Sciences, as well as the Division of Graduate Education, the DGE, and the Directorate of Education and Human Resources. There are three communities of concern for the cyber training program. These are CI professionals, These are the research, cyber infrastructure, and professional staff who develop, deploy, manage, and support effective use of research CI. CI contributors, these are the computational and data scientists and engineers who are researchers and developers of new CI capabilities. And the CI users, these are the scientists and engineers who effectively exploit the advanced CI capabilities and methods. We anticipate proposals for informal training, retraining, cross-training, and related activities. The topics will be related to the methods and resources of advanced CI, advanced cyber infrastructure, and of computational and data science and engineering. The levels will range from basic literacy to advanced. The target communities at various stages of their career pipeline comprise the CI professionals, as well as the undergraduate and graduate students, postdocs, research scientists, and faculty researchers and educators from both the CI contributor and CI user community. The activities can include retraining and cross-training of faculty mentors and course instructors themselves to keep up with the dynamic knowledge landscape. This is one of the ways for obtaining multiplier effect. One of our primary goals is to broaden CI access and adoption by three kinds of communities. These include deepening accessibility of methods and resources of advanced CI to a wide range of institutions with lower level of CI adoption. These also include those scientific communities and disciplines with lower level of CI adoption. Also, we intend to harness the capabilities of a larger segment of diverse underrepresented groups. As you conceive of novel training models and activities, we'd like to challenge you and your team to explore the following aspects for short-term impacts: preparing for better scientific workforce for advanced CI, broadening adoption and accessibility of shared computing and data resources by various disciplines, institutions, and groups, complementing and leveraging the state of art in curricular offerings and educational material in academia, industry, and elsewhere, creating alliances and backbones for collective impact. I'll have more on collective impact later. Providing on-demand personalized accessibilities, exploring ways of drawing students into computational discipline, and I'm talking about X plus computing as well as computing plus X, identifying areas of workforce demand and career pathways, innovating in training and certification models, curriculum, educational material and activities, and their sustainability, and leveraging and contributing to NSF cyber infrastructure and research projects, such as XSEED, NanoHub, Cyverse, LIGO, and NHRE, and HERI. Training really is a vehicle for achieving long-term goals while meeting short-term objectives. In the longer term, you should explore how your project contributes to one or more of the following goals. As I mentioned earlier, see how your project contributes to an educational ecosystem, enabling computational and data science for all, or contribute to an ubiquitous and scalable educational cloud infrastructure for online, dynamic, personalized lessons and certifications, or establishes deeper engagement with various disciplines, institutions, and groups, or develops curriculum and instruction material that will feed into the undergraduate curriculum and be formally adopted into disciplinary or general education core curriculum, or guide the best practices in teaching pedagogy and be formally adopted or actually impact the standards formulation for minimum skill set and collaboration with the key stakeholders, or help establish clear career pathways and employment opportunities for the scientific communities of concern. You are encouraged to engage all relevant stakeholders by forging alliances and forming backbones for collective impact. This is particularly necessary in order to address the long-standing unresolved bottlenecks. Stakeholders may include academia, computing centers and related entities, public and private institutions, professional and disciplinary associations, which can be instrumental in curriculum standards and broader adoption. government and industry research labs, industry, author and publishers, and federal, state and local agencies, and may also cross national boundaries. However, NSF funds may only be used to support US-based researchers. You may also explore various training modes and informal education models that can build upon and go beyond the following examples. Some institutes hosting participants for a few weeks, employing logistics similar to research experience for undergraduates, also called the RU sites. But note that the cyber training solicitation will not accept submissions for RU site itself. Intensive short duration training workshops, workshops and conference training and tutorial tracks, massive open online courses, small private online courses, and online self-paced training, collaboratively taught courses with remote and local instruction, and programming and other competitions and awards. So let's talk about solicitation-specific review criteria. All proposals should have well-identified proposal elements, which clearly address the solicitation-specific review criteria shown here, in addition to addressing the intellectual merit and broader impact criteria. Reviewers will be asked to evaluate these aspects by answering the following questions. Are the training, education, and workforce challenges identified? Are they sound? What is the potential to attain the proposed impacts in the short and long term? To what extent can the projects meet the broadening access and adoption challenges with respect to the nation's scientific workforce and advanced CI? How well would the project engage the key stakeholders, leverage prior work, and forge partnerships for collective impact? What is the potential for project to scale in the longer term? What is the potential for the key activities to be sustained beyond NSF funding? Are the plans for recruitment and evaluation sound? In addition, are the plans for management and collaboration effective? I do want to clarify that research in education is not the goal of the solicitation. Now the award framework. Each cyber training award will range from $300,000 to $500,000 per award and will be up to 3 years in duration. There may be 10 to 15 awards. A total budget of $4.5 million is expected, and that's contingent upon the availability of funds. Budgets can be higher with possible co-funding from participating directors and divisions. There are three tracks for submissions. The first track is the CI professional track. This is aimed at the training and career pathway development of research, cyber infrastructure, and professional staff who develop, deploy, manage, and support effective use of advanced CI for research. The second is the domain science and engineering track. This is aimed primarily at the communities of CI contributors and the sophisticated CI users. These should be aligned with the research and educational priorities of participating domain directorates. The third track is on computational and data science literacy. This is aimed at the CI user community at the undergraduate level, impacting the general college curriculum or the core curriculum of disciplines in the longer term. Your project can overlap these tracks, but we do want you to identify your major thrust when you submit. Now, some points on the submission logistics. The cyber training submissions are due January 18th of 2017. Prospective investigators are strongly encouraged to contact the Cognizant program officers. They are listed in the sites ACI as well as in the participating directorates and divisions which are relevant to your proposal. This is to ascertain whether the focus and the budget of the proposed activities are appropriate for the solicitation. You typically can start consultation by sending an email to us with a one-page project summary, and we advise you to use cyber training in the subject line. We are also asking that you complete such consultations at least 1 month in advance of the submission deadline. This will allow us to plan ahead, and we do actually want to try to expedite the review and decisions. The principal investigators should include the names of the Cognizant program officers they consulted in the project summary. If you're interested in serving in panels, please let us know as well. And of course, based on the community response and goals, in the subsequent years, NSF may consider introducing larger size awards in order to accommodate larger projects. So let me go ahead and provide some example projects by track, serving only to exemplify the nature of these three submission tracks. So for cyber infrastructure, the CI professional track, the CI professional, the first track, there are two examples. Training and certification of CI professionals in cybersecurity technology and management, or working with neuroscientists to effectively use advanced CI to share software and data. For the domain science and engineering track, examples can be training geoscience graduate students to develop scalable, parallel, and distributed software for high-performance computing, or cross-training of computing and engineering students and faculty in advanced manufacturing. For the computational and data science literacy track, the third track, an example project can be instructor training for computational science literacy across all STEM disciplines in a minimum four topics. Another can be software and data literacy for natural science undergraduates. So this completes my slide presentation. Please note that these slides and the transcript for this webcast, as well as an audio recording, will be available at www.nsf.gov/events, EVENTS. Now we welcome your questions. You may also email now as well as offline to sprasad, sprasad, at nsf.gov. Thank you.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star, then one. Again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then one. One moment for our first question. The first question comes from Lucienne Walkowicz. Your line is open.
I was wondering when the awards would commence.
So I think the question could be that, you know, can you start early enough? And as I said earlier, we do want to expedite the review and then try to at least informally, you know, get some decision to the awardees so we can have a summer event from 2017 onward.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Tim Yardley. Your line is open.
Hi, I was just wondering if there needs to be any connection back to the NSCI initiatives in relation to high-performance computing. The example project you gave in relation to security, for instance, didn't necessarily indicate any ties to the HPC sort of ecosystem. Can you elaborate a bit on that?
So NSCI actually is definitely relevant, but you don't really have to have everything responding just to NSCI, right? So we have multiple initiatives which are relevant here at this stage. So it doesn't have to be exclusively relevant to NSCI.
Currently, there are no questions in queue. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star then one and be sure to record your name when prompted. Okay, one moment for our next question. Marshall, your line is open.
Hi, I want to ask, for this program, especially if it's a joint initiative with other directorates like geoscience, are there any relationship to some existing programs? Like I know in geoscience, there's S-Cube, and they have these research coordination networks. They also do these summer schools and the workshops. So are there any relationships?
So the idea is that for any of these programs which are participating programs, there are things which are already happening, and you can leverage off those things and propose here to consolidate all of these and try to propose something really innovative, right? So clearly those who have been doing some of these activities, they are better positioned, and definitely we encourage them to think about how they can propose here.
So when you talk to the program officers or you make your inquiry, I would suggest that you put it in the context of how you would leverage existing activities.
The next question comes from Joel Geit. Your line is open.
Yes, I just had a question about this third track, the computational data science literacy. But also the idea that it should be an out-of-class training. And I'm wondering how, you know, what is the vision of putting those two things together if you're training people at the undergraduate level, which traditionally we've always done in a classroom setting, except for, you know, like REUs over the summer. So I'm just wondering if you could say a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so I think the difficulty is that, you know, if you look at any curriculum, it's so congested. It's very difficult to actually either propose new class or to insert anything new. And so we have to be realistic, right? So long-term goal eventually, of course, is to infuse topics which are relevant to advanced CI into the curriculum itself. But the idea is to get started with something which is more informal out of class, you know, like you cited RU site program. So there could be a lot of things which are around just the classroom teaching, which can be done. And I gave many examples of those, including awards and competitions, for example, right? So think creatively around, not necessarily to have to change the curriculum itself to have impact in the short term. Short term, you can have impact in many different ways, MOOCs and other things including. A long-term impact eventually is to think about how it could infuse into the curriculum itself.
The next question comes from Uwe Hilgert.
Hi, the question is, to what extent do you see overlap between the three tracks in the proposal acceptable?
So, yeah, that's a good question, actually, and we have been thinking about it. So, clearly, I'm not saying, and we are not saying that you shouldn't have overlap. Overlap is fine. Just for the purpose of submission, identify the main thrust. But overlap is clearly possible. And encouraged as well.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Henry Neiman.
Yeah, I actually have two questions, but I don't know if that's breaking protocol, so I'll just start with the first. You had mentioned a little while ago that you had there was an area that was not appropriate for this program, and I wasn't clear what area that was. Can you flesh that out a little bit?
So. What area were you thinking about that was not appropriate? Sorry.
I didn't quite catch it. Somebody thought that it might have been education research or something. There was a point in the slides where you said such and so area is not appropriate for cyber training program.
So I think I pointed to the RU site as being not acceptable for this program. So that's
okay. Thank you.
That's a program that's already there, and if you're thinking about RU site, by all means. Proposed, but we actually have a program for RU site across and
right. Thank you. That I was not thinking specifically of RU site. Can I ask my other question or no?
Sure.
Okay, so you mentioned assessment in the slides. Is it a requirement or a recommendation or a requirement or recommendation not to have an evaluator? And if so, if it is a requirement or a recommendation, is it required or recommended that the evaluator be external?
So it's an excellent idea. In fact, there is a question criteria, actually, that reviewers are going to be looking at is the plans for recruitment and assessment. So it's definitely advisable to have a solid plan for assessment. Having an external advisor actually is fine, but that's not required. You can have internal also, but so long as you have independent person trying to give you feedback and assessment.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Ramachandran. Your line is open.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not certain if this was answered in the short period when I was dialing in, but I was wondering in the literacy track, is it also open to, you mentioned curricular changes, inclusion of ideas in the curriculum, but is it also open to, you know, pedagogical methods to actually integrate this into existing curriculum? It's a lot more difficult to change an entire curriculum, but probably will be more sustainable if something can be done along the way to kind of spread the idea across the entire curriculum rather than introducing one course, for example. Is that sort of an idea possible here?
Yes. To answer that, of course, yes. Right. So intent is not just to be narrow here. Intent actually is to try to see what are the possibilities. And in fact, spreading things out through the curriculum might work much better than trying to create a new class, and the curriculum is already congested. So clearly, ideas around that would be very welcome.
Okay, thanks.
The next question comes from Uwe Hilger. Your line is open.
Is to any amount is educational research required? I understand an assessor evaluation, I get that, but how about an educational research question?
So as I clarified earlier, educational research is not the focus for this solicitation, so it's not required.
Cool.
Currently, there are no questions in queue. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one. One moment for the next question.
Hello?
Janus, your line is open.
Yes, thank you. I would like to ask if involving, of course, one of the attributes of such a solicitation is asking for creating a coalition, right? But I have this idea of involving not even community colleges, but vocational schools, which are above the high school level. And there are several in our area, so that is definitely very much related to training the workforce. So would that be viewed as an advantage of the proposal, or is this simply allowed to involve vocational schools?
So, I mean, clearly trying to do outreach to different kinds of educational institutions would be a plus. I just want to caution that, you know, the primary objective of the solicitation is to train different communities for, you know, scientific workforce development for research, right? So as long as that overall objective is met, you know, definitely you should try to, you know, do this outreach. On the other hand, if it's limited just for, you know, training for the job of various kinds in IT industry, that is not the intent.
All right, thank you.
There are no questions at this time. And just as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one. The next question comes from Ramachandran. Your line is open.
I have another question. Does the proposal have to focus on one of the three areas, literacy, domain, and the, or can it cross-cut across those things in terms of curricular development and curricular activities? Could it target all three, for example?
Yes. So certainly it can. You know, so overlap is fine. The only reason for trying to specify track is that you actually are able to identify your main thrust and then check out that box as you're submitting. Essentially, you try to put this title, the prefix. That's the only purpose. But definitely overlap is fine.
Okay. Specifically, what I was asking was, let's say the activity is more along the lines of literacy, so in terms of something to do with educating undergraduates, but for the purpose of possibly research, for the purpose of being users from, let's say, one of the other STEM fields who are not really actually working on the CI research, but they are using CI for their research, and those kind of things. So it kind of tends to bleed across, so that is okay.
Yeah, perfectly fine.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks.
The next question comes from Maxim Belkin. Your line is open.
Hi. I had a question. Do you have any preference whether, in terms of virtual training or real in-person training, for example?
No preference. I mean, it's all up to, the PI community, how they want to, design things. And there's no limit to creativity, so all of these are possibilities.
So virtual events are fine?
Yes.
Thank you.
Currently, there are no questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one. One moment for the next question. Yeah,
don't
your line is open.
Involve high school students, for instance.
That's fine, actually. I think if you're looking at potential folks from high school in these areas, that's actually fine as well. And as I pointed out earlier, essentially you're trying to see that literacy in this area, so that might fall into the this third track. So that would be okay.
Thank you.
Currently, there are no questions in queue. If you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one. Okay, the next question comes from Juana. Your line is open.
Yeah, I got a question. I mean, if you are thinking about training teachers, high school teachers, it will be a conflict with the CS10K call? That have the similar goal?
So the purpose is not to actually have conflict. but clearly the CS for All, it is an excellent program, and that is a basis for why we also want to prepare, the ones who are coming into the colleges and beyond, right? So, if it's aligned to the overall goal of the solicitation, in fact, the previous question also was, about high school students and then potentially then teachers. In these topics, it would be fine. It would be aligned to this.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Sujini. Your line is open.
Yes, hi. I just have a quick question. Is it okay to have a training program which is completely online?
Of course.
Okay. Great. And another quick thing again is that I also saw in the solicitation that there's another due date, which is in October. So is it going to be the same program or any plans to change it?
So, those who are looking at two deadlines, and the current deadline, remember, is the January 18 deadline.
Okay.
October deadline is the next year's deadline, essentially. And typically what happens at NSF is that we look at what happened, you know, in the previous round, how it goes, and there could be some modifications for the next round. So if you're thinking about, and that's one question that I also actually want to address a little bit more emphatically is, if you're thinking about proposing and having some programs in summer, you don't want to miss this chance because we would actually try to expedite. If you are thinking about the next deadline, that would be a slightly modified solicitation in all likelihood.
Okay. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Andrea Prosperetti. Your line is open.
Thank you. I wasn't very clear about this process of contacting the program director 1 month before the deadline. Could you go over that again, please?
Yeah, so idea really is, and I also actually have my colleague here. Maybe she can answer this, please.
So I think the thought is just to have you touch base with the program officer that you think would be closest and just do a reality check. First of all, some divisions and directorates have specific language, so you would want to see whether or not they feel you're being responsive to that language. And then secondly, see whether the idea that you have and the budget you're thinking about is something that they think is reasonable.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Camille Archer. Your line is open.
Yes, my question is about whether proposals should focus on a specific underrepresented domain, or they can target multiple domains, which would like to participate.
So, yeah, let me clarify. So, the intent is not just to look at underrepresented groups or institutions or disciplines. You can have definitely much broader, coverage. What I was emphasizing is that that's one special area that one can look at, right? So, that's one of the goals. But it's not limited to it.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Satish Nair. Your line is open.
Yes, I had a question about the track two. Is it possible to include two domains, for instance, plant science and neuroscience with a common training framework and CI resource concepts?
Very much so, sure. And in that case, actually, I would encourage you to contact the two relevant program directors as well.
Okay, thank you.
Currently, there are no questions. As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star then one. Okay, the next question comes from Diana Dugas. Your line is open.
Hi, so just to return back to that reality check about contacting the closest person to you, how do you determine closest?
So, I would look at the language, and one way is to go in and do an award search on who's supporting things in that area if you don't have any ideas. That would give you a feel for who are people that might be potentially interested in supporting it.
And also, if you look at solicitation, there are specific languages for three programs. So you can look at those. If things are not clear, just shoot me an email, with your ideas, and I can get you started.
Yeah, and there's a point of contact listed for the directorates also. But good to start with the shield.
Thank you.
Currently, there are no questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one.
So here is one question that was asked to us earlier. Can the duration of my project be fewer than 3 years? And you know, 3 years actually is the ceiling, so not the floor. So clearly, the duration can be anywhere from 1 to 3 years.
And we do have a question from Tan Bui. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Tan Bui from University of Texas, Austin. I have a question about summer and training workshop. So the proposal, the amount of funding, that, if that I do that things, workshop, then the amount of money would be for developing the program or also for supporting students who come over to attend the workshop?
So you can design the, you know, the expenditure that as needed based on your project. It can support students. It can also support the faculty members and then other aspects, participants. It's based on projects.
Thank you.
Sure. So there was an email question, is the overlap acceptable between the three tracks, to what extent? Definitely it's acceptable, and again, depends on your project. If you do have overlaps, you know, you want to contact multiple program directors. And then you can start with me.
Currently, there are no questions on the phone lines. If you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one.
So there's another email that just came in that the person was not able to register, did not get an email. So let me just at least say that, you know, everything is going to be posted, the slides, you know, the transcripts as well as the audio. And you know, feel free to send me, you know, an email with a little bit of, you know, summary, and I'd love to actually enter into conversation with you.
Currently, there are no questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one. We do have a question. Andreas, your line is open.
Okay, thank you. So I would like some clarification on the sustainability, scalability aspects that you stressed. So suppose that we set up, let's say, a certificate program for undergraduates in high-performance computing, and we would have you know, we set up some courses and summer programs and so on. Now, what is the scalability of something like this? What would you mean? How would that word impact a program of this kind?
So I think the one way to think of scalability is, you know, think about what you have done and what you have produced, I mean, the model that you have used, logistics that you applied, material that you have produced, or maybe curricular guidelines that you have, that could potentially be adopted elsewhere. So if you're producing templates for others to emulate, that's a way to scale. Another way to scale also is think of, you know, in terms of collaboration that you potentially can have. And so there are multiple ways to really think of how things could be scaled. Maybe instead of, you know, directly, let's say, training the students, you actually train the instructors who actually would have a multiplier impact. So there are many different ways of thinking about that aspect.
I see. Okay.
As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then one. Okay, one moment for the next question. Okay, the next question comes from Nellie. Your line is open.
Hello, this is Nellie from Clemson University. Here we already do a lot of boot camp and workshops for cyber infrastructure trainings. So could the proposal be the enhancement of what we are doing now, or it has to be something new?
So I mean, clearly you have a lot of things going on and have an experience doing this. So, and that's a big plus. You can actually leverage off what you already have been doing and propose, you know, beyond that. You know, having experience is not bad at all.
Okay, thank you.
Currently, there are no questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one.
We'll also take this moment, and then, of course, feel free to ask more questions. So next week at Supercomputing, some of us from ACI, and then actually from NSF all across, but definitely from ACI, there's going to be enough participation. We'll have a box session. It's the Birds of Feather session at Salt Lake City. This ACI box is going to be on Tuesday, November 15th, at 3:30 through 5 p.m. That's next Tuesday in the afternoon, 3:30. And the room is 155-A, 155-A. And the idea is to look at all the programs, not just cyber training program, but other programs as well. We'll have many program directors, and we'll be going through those and also have a chance for interacting with the community.
There are no questions at this time. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one. The next question comes from Maxim. Your line is open.
I have a second question. So if there are several groups at the institution who are working in the training area, would it be better for them to collaborate or submit separate proposals?
So it depends on the scope. Collaboration actually is always a good idea, right? Even if you're submitting, you know, let's say a single or, you know, a two PI proposal, you want to create what I call collective impact, right? You want to look at the stakeholders and then try to at least connect with them, even if they're not directly participating in the support role and in terms of providing resources and potentially, you know, allowing dissemination and an outreach. If you have multiple teams which may be relevant, by all means, you know, you can plan together. This actually is intended to be pilot activity. So you can see, you know, the dilemma. If you have lots of activities, how do you do this? Again, remember, the duration is 1 through 3 years. So there's a variability there as well. And we can discuss that if you feel that, you know, is it. So if you want to do something together, it needs to be coherent, right? It needs to be something that belongs together.
And am I still online?
Yes, you are.
Okay, so that award, 300 to 500K, is it for the whole period?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Hamid Badawi. Your line is open. Hamid, your line is open.
I just missed the Birds of Feather session details, and it's now on the slide, so thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you. Currently, there are no questions. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then one.
Thank you so much. This has been, one of the most interactive sessions that we have had lately. So we appreciate the interest and enthusiasm. We are very excited. This is a new solicitation, so please go ahead and start interacting with us. We are looking forward to great projects and submissions. Also, as I said, if you are thinking about reviewing or can help review, let me know as well. Let us know. There are multiple program directors actually who are involved. And also let your colleagues and friends know. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yep.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you for your participation in today's conference. Participants, you may disconnect. Speakers, please stand by.